Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been walking in the Holy Spirit every single day? That's the difference in your walk, to be filled with His Spirit. The only way we can do that is being filled with the Spirit and us being put out of the way.
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things.
Welcome back to In Christ Radio. Last time in the Building Foundation series, we covered Ezra chapter 6 in its entirety. We saw the temple completed and the people rejoicing. What was sown in tears was finally reaped in joy. Today we move into Ezra chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, in a message titled, Three Keys to Building the Foundations of Our Heart. In this passage, Ezra steps into the scene. He's described as a man skilled in the law of Moses, but more than that, we're told something deeper about his heart. Ezra had set his heart in three clear ways. In the same way, the Holy Spirit leads our heart. One, to seek God's word, to pursue truth personally, not casually, to live it out, not just to learn from it, but to obey it. And third is to teach others, to pass it on, helping others in their walk too. These are not rushed decisions. They are settled commitments. And through that, God's hand was on Ezra's life. Strong spiritual foundations aren't built quickly. They're built intentionally as we seek, live, and share God's word. So which of these areas, seeking, living, or sharing God's word, needs to be strengthened in your life right now? Let's turn to Ezra chapter 7 and join Pastor Ben in today's message. Three keys to building the foundations of our heart.
Think about this. Many of the Jewish people had a hardened heart towards God when they were forced to move. Now that they're home in Jerusalem, it sounds like there is a remnant of the hardness of heart. You go, what do you mean they were forced to move? Well, they thought one thing about God, and God said, no, I'm telling you what's going to happen. And then what happens is whatever God says, and yet here it is. You go, Ben, how does this apply to me today? Well, we call it being hurt by God. Many people like, I've been hurt by God. And you go, well, how does God, like, how? Why would people say that? Here's why. Listen. There are people who have prayed for a loved one to live, and then they died. And the enemy comes in and goes, hey, man, if God really loved you, he would have listened to your prayer. I don't understand. And he died and so forth. Or maybe they prayed. You know this. This is real life, church. This is real life. They prayed for God's protection, and then they ended up hurt physically or even emotionally. And we've even had this. They've had someone who claimed to be a Christian do awful things. Awful things. And this, my friends, will often harden a heart towards the things of God. If God really loved you, he wouldn't allow that to happen. He wouldn't have. And we walk around with a hard heart from God. And the enemy is really good at doing that because it separates us from a close walk with Jesus. Church, listen, listen, this is deep because we think we're going to be hurt again. And we get a picture of that. Now, listen, I heard a quote that set chills up my spine. And I mean, I just... When it comes to a hard heart, check out this person. I'm going to put it up here because I want you to see this. He says this, quote, if you live in a graveyard too long, you stop crying when someone dies. Let that sink in. If you live in a graveyard too long, you stop crying when someone dies. And that's the hard heart. That's the hard heart. Here's my thought. It's time to let whatever it was that hurt you, whatever it was that confused you, whatever it is that lied to you, it's time to let your heart live again. As a matter of fact, it reminded me of a true story. This is a true story about a pastor in Ohio. And this pastor asked a member of his church who was a surgeon if he could be in the operating room to watch this open heart surgery. Well, the doctor permitted him to observe. The physician began the surgery and removed the woman's heart, repaired what was wrong, and placed it back in her chest. As he massaged her heart to get it going, it wouldn't beat. He tried to start it using other procedures, but nothing worked. True story. In an act of desperation, the surgeon knelt down beside the patient and said, Mrs. Johnson, this is your surgeon. The operation went perfectly and your heart has been repaired, but you need to tell your heart to beat again. When he finished saying those words, immediately her heart began beating. Even though the surgeon did everything necessary to repair her heart, the patient needed to cooperate with him. By an act of her will, she had to start her own heart beating. This story inspired singer Randy Phillips to write this song, Tell Your Heart to Beat Again. The story goes on to say, maybe you've been rejected, you've lost a loved one, your heart has stopped beating. Perhaps your spouse has betrayed you, your heart no longer beats. You've lost hope and your will to live. He says, remember, God is the great physician who can repair your heart, but you have to tell your heart to beat again. You must tell your heart to love again. You must command your heart to hope again. No matter what tragedy you've been through, you can live again and move forward with your life. Just tell your heart to beat again. Number two, the children of Israel, they had forgotten God's law. Go back in time with me for just a moment. God told the Israelites when they go to Babylon to go ahead and get comfortable. You remember that. They're going to be there for 70 years. God says, go ahead and plant vineyards, build houses. You're going to be there for a while. Now, let's say that Babylon is a type of the world. You go, okay, Pastor. We know that this 7 years is divine judgment. You go, amen, Pastor. They were to live out the gospel in a foreign land for God's glory, just like we're supposed to do. You and I, we're living in a foreign land. We're simply passing through. Our job is to what? To live out the gospel. But something happened within those 70 years. You go, what happened? They assimilated to the Babylonian culture and forgot God. And that is a danger for you and I, to assimilate to the worldly culture and forget who God is. Now, I'm preaching to the choir because you're here on a Wednesday night wanting to get fed the word of God, but we have to be so careful because if the children of Israel did, that is a real danger for us as well. Number three, the children of Israel were playing the hypocrite. The hypocrite. They were disregarding the law of God in front of the people. Think about it. They were playing the hypocrite. One blistering day, this hot day, when the guests for dinner, mother asked 4-year-old Johnny to return thanks. But I don't know what to say, the boy complained. Oh, just say what you hear me say, his mother replied. Obediently, the boy bowed his head and mumbled, oh Lord, why did I invite this people over on a hot day like this? That's the hypocrite, right? Now, listen to this story about hypocrisy from this publication called Today in the Word, June 3rd, 1989. It says this, he made a free use of Christian vocabulary. He talked about the blessings of the Almighty and the Christian confessions, which would become pillars of the new government. He assumed the earnestness of the man weighted down by historic responsibility. He handed out pious stories to the press, especially to the church papers. He showed his tattered Bible and declared he drew strength from the great work, and the scores of pious people welcomed him as a man sent from God. Indeed, Adolf Hitler was a master of outward religiosity with no inward reality. Hypocrisy. Think about it. Now, back to our study, guys. They came in and they rebuilt the city of Jerusalem and the temple of the living God. You had this small remnant of these Jewish people who had been in captivity for over 70 years, but have been allowed to come back by the Persian king, Cyrus. Now, what you need to know is that there was a group that came back initially, and then others were going to come back eventually. And I love that. I love that story. Here's why. Because it shows the gospel. Why? Because it was when Soph was 30 years old that he came home. And every one of us at different times. And so it shows just a beautiful pattern. The initial people came home, but then as the gospel went out, it was me when I was 17 when I heard the gospel and the scales fell from my eyes. And I was like, yeah, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. So people are coming home. But let me go back and recap so you understand and you can get a good feel, okay? Ezra chapter 1 tells us how God dealt with Cyrus. I love that. Why? That always brings hope to me that God is, he's still in control of the kings of this world. And nothing is going to happen in this world without God's permission. Here's what you need to know. You ready? Jot this down somewhere in your Bible or in your notes. Father filtered. Father filtered. You go, what does that mean? Everything you're going to go through is father filtered. It's got to go through the father first. And God is dealing with Cyrus, the king of Persia, to issue a decree. Cyrus, yes, sir. I don't know if you're a believer or not. Of course, God does, but we don't. And here he is. You're going to set the people to go back. They're free. They're 70 years is up. In Ezra chapter 2, we learned that 50,000 of the millions of Jews living in captivity all around Persia responded to the call and went home, God's remnant of people. The first half of Ezra chapter 3 described the children of Israel coming home, rebuilding the altar and establishing sacrifices to the Lord. Hold that thought, okay? Because the first part of chapter 3 talks about the rebuilding of the altar and establishing the what? The sacrifices, getting the temple up. In the same way, prophetically, we talked about this on Sunday, but prophetically, that's exactly what's happening in Israel right now. You see, right now, they don't have a third temple, okay? But they're already instituting sacrifices, and they're going to get that ready to go, and they're going to try to build a third temple. So you can almost see this like, okay, well, this is God, but what's going to happen in the future is not God. This is not from God. You know, it's going to be the signing of the peace treaty, the Antichrist, and so forth and so forth. The second half of Ezra chapter 3 describes a remnant of people starting to work on the building in the temple of the Lord. In Ezra 4, the enemy launches their first assault, right? The whole process of restoration, the rebuilding of the city of God stops. We saw how the enemy's people try to come in different ways to stop, different methods to stop Israel from charging forward. In the first two verses of Ezra chapter 5, God uses who? Haggai and Zechariah. And then after 16 years and the break in the action, the people of the Lord get back to rebuilding the temple. And at this time, it says in Ezra 5:2, the prophets were helping them by holding them to the task, okay? After 20 years, the foundation is done. The temple is completed and dedicated. Now, if you're a note taker, you need to know there is a 58 to 60 year gap between chapter 6 and chapter 7. So although we finished chapter 6 last week, we have been out of sorts for 60 years. Okay, that's kind of what's happening in between chapter 6 and chapter 7. Okay, you go, what happened during chapter 6 and chapter 7? Well, if you're a note taker, you can write this. The book of Esther happened during this time. So between chapter 6 and 7, the book of Esther was happening. You guys know Esther. Let me just give you a side nugget, okay? Ahasuerus is the Persian king, if you recall, who wanted to display Vashti to his friends. He had this party, he got drunk, and he said, "Hey, bring my wife out here." And the way he means it is he doesn't mean it like, let me show off my queen. But it was very sexual in nature. Like in front of his friends, and Vashti's like, "I ain't having it," right? She goes, no. You know what he did? He divorced her. You guys remember that? Well, this made opportunity for Esther to become queen and to save the Jews from destruction. As a matter of fact, even to this day in Israel, there is a feast called Purim. Purim, and it's a national holiday. And the children of Israel make something called Haman's Ears cookies to celebrate this. And you can get them. The second year I was in Israel, it was in the Feast of Purim, and they actually had cookies, and they were celebrating that. Artaxerxes, who's also known in history as Artaxerxes Longimanus, was the successor to Xerxes. You go, "Ben, why are you telling this?" Because I want you to know that Xerxes, the name of Ahasuerus, can be translated to Xerxes, who was married to Esther. So sometimes you go, "Oh, no, the Bible got it wrong," because Esther was married to King Xerxes. They're both the same name, okay? So you understand that the Bible didn't get it wrong. It just takes a little bit of digging. And like I said, Esther, the events of the book of Esther take place between Ezra 6 and Ezra 7. So in our minds, 60 years go by. And so now we come to chapter 7. And if you're taking note, I'm calling this message, jot this down, 3 keys to building the foundation in our heart. three keys to building the foundation in our heart. For tonight, we learn and lean on Pastor Ezra. Pastor Ezra. He is called to come to Jerusalem to continue the work of the Lord, but not on the temple, but on the hearts of God's people. Okay? Tonight, let's look at verses 1 to 10. But these first five verses, check it out. Look at verse 1. Now, after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkah, the son of Shallum, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merioth, the son of Zerariah, and the son of Uzi, the son of Buki, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. So Ezra is coming from this long line all the way back to Aaron, okay? But let me say this. If you ever have trouble trying to pick out a child's name, you got plenty right here. Oh, look at you, little Buki. That's a great name. It's biblical. I'm not saying that you won't get beat up or teased in school, but nonetheless, here it is. It says in verse 1, after these things, okay, so what's he saying? Guys, some 60 largely uneventful years passed. You go, Ben, you said that. The ruler of Persia at the end of the period was who? Artaxerxes, who's also known as Artaxerxes Longimanus. He was the successor to Xerxes or Azarias, basically the king that married Esther. Okay, so after all of this, 60 years have passed. That's all it means. And it says, the son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Aaron, the chief. You can see this. Now, I want you to keep this in mind. The list here, even in the first five verses, was not all inclusive. They didn't mention everybody all the way down. But what he wanted to write was just basically, look, he left some generations out. But here's the point. Ezra was a descendant of who? Of Aaron and Sariah. And here's what you need to know. Sariah was the high priest right before the captivity. So Ezra is a descendant of all of these guys. And what you need to know as we get into this, and it's so amazingly cool, is for the first six chapters, although Ezra wrote the book of Ezra, he hasn't been involved, has he? We haven't seen Ezra on the work of the temple. The people were doing the work of the... You go, where was Ezra? Here's what's going on. Ezra's heart right now, before chapter 7, okay, 20 years of coming back and building the temple in 60, so we're at 80 years. What was God doing? You ready? Ezra was being prepared for service as the temple was being rebuilt. Ezra's heart. Now, I want you to think about this, okay? Put on your thinking caps because this is going to blow you away. I want to share just how good God is and such a beautiful nugget of truth. You go, what's that? For the first six chapters in the book of Ezra, we're not introduced to Ezra. It's only in chapter 7 that we're introduced to Ezra, the person. You go, okay. Now, up until this point, jot this down, Ezra was not physically there. He's not there in the first six chapters. He's writing this as a historian and as a scribe, but he's not there physically. You go, okay, got this. He doesn't show up till when? Till when the temple is completed. He's showing up now. God has a perfect plan and a perfect time, okay? He's not showing up till chapter 7. Give me an amen if you understand, okay? You go, okay, so Ben, what's the point? Jesus told us it was to our benefit that he go away. Do you remember that? He had resurrected, and he's standing there physically, and he's like, guys, I'm going to have to go. I'm gonna go to the vine. And if it was me there, I'm like, no, right? We're just getting started. Are you kidding me? And I think I'd be like that kid with his arms and legs around Jesus holding him because I don't want him to go. But he says, it's to your benefit that I go. Why? Because if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit. The parakletos, it's the Greek word where we get comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. So Jesus ascends to heaven, right? Angels and everybody looking up going, oh, what's going on? He sends the Holy Spirit. Day of Pentecost, blows our mind, right? Speaking in tongues, people getting saved. The Holy Spirit living in us. You're like, cool, I get that. Ezra is a type, if you will, of the Holy Spirit, because the temple foundation is already done. And now he's coming to bring comfort and to walk with the rest of the people in the task at hand. You're like, wow. Why? Because the Lord says that you're the temple and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And it was only at the right time. You ask the question, the Holy Spirit wasn't really present in the Old Testament? Oh, no, he's come upon people at times in the Old Testament, but not like the New Testament. It wasn't only until Jesus, ascended, and he sent the Holy Spirit, who, by the way, is the third person of the Trinity, and he's coming to walk with you and comfort you. And you go, Ben, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. Listen, when you read the scripture in the book of Ezra, you can see the gospel message and how it ties in beautifully to the New Testament. And all you can do is shake your head and go, wow, only God could do this. Only God can do this. This is why at Calvary Chapel, we study the Old Testament on Wednesday nights, because it's so pertinent. And if you'll pull that nugget out, you're like, wow. Wow, what a great nugget that is. That although Pastor Ezra is coming physically to help the people, to comfort the people, to walk with the people, that's what the Holy Spirit does for you. Here's my challenge to you. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been walking in the Holy Spirit every single day? That's the difference in your walk, to be filled with His Spirit. Church, we're called to love and serve people. The only way we can do that is being filled with the Spirit and us being put out of the way. And the task that we have to build, the foundation we're building in our life, growing closer to Jesus, you know what we need? I need help. I need the Holy Spirit. Think about your life for a minute. How many times have you wanted to wring somebody's neck and the Holy Spirit was like, mm-mm? How many times are you ready to send that text and the Holy Spirit's like, erase it? And you're like, but, and he's like, erase it. and he does that, doesn't he? He's so good. And much more than that, the Holy Spirit is the one that tells us, hey, I don't care if you were wrong or right. Go apologize. Restore the relationship. Sweetie, I'm sorry. Baby, I'm sorry for saying that. I didn't mean that. Oh, please forgive me. Though, listen, church, as believers, those words, not that we go around offending people, but those words should come more from our mouth. I'm sorry, please forgive me. They shouldn't be, you know, somewhere dusty, you know, it's like, oh, I don't ever use that word. No, we offend people. We have a hard time. And the Holy Spirit reminds us, hey, let me say one last thing and then we'll move on. You ready? The closer you walk with Jesus, the closer you walk with God, the more you depend on the Holy Spirit and the more you see who you really are. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought His people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what He began. The same God who restores His people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button,
If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.